You know, something just shouted out to me as Barbara was reading that, and that was the part where it said, live in peace with everyone. And there's so much unrest going on today. Just this morning, I was watching news from Israel, and there's a rioting going on between the Hasidim, the Orthodox Jews, and the government because they want to go back. They want to open their yeshivas and their schools, and the government has a total lockdown right now. And there was all kinds of tumultuous behavior going on in the streets of Jerusalem and Tel Aviv. And then I saw rioting going on in Russia, in several cities. And we saw some of it here a couple of weeks ago in our own nation's capital. There's so much unrest. Boy, we should be praying for peace. And we should encourage one another. I'd like to share a story that I saw. There was once a nervous bride. And so after the rehearsal, the pastor suggested that her brother, who was also the best man, that hopefully it would calm her down and ease the tension in her nerves if he were to be able to read the scripture for the service. And he was assigned a text to read just as the bride arrived down the aisle in front of the altar. And the text that he was given was 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. And it reads, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. And the pastor was hoping that when the bride heard that, perfect love, she's going to get married, all the fear would dissipate, and he was hoping that would work. Well, the brother wasn't a church-going guy. He really didn't know the Bible well, and instead of turning to 1 John 4:18, he turned to John 4:18, and he looked at his sister, and he said these words, you have five husbands, and the one that you have now is not your husband. Well, you could imagine that didn't help his sister out too much. But at least the pastor made every attempt to calm the nerves of this nervous bride. And have you ever had the time in your life when there was a timely word of encouragement that came your way and was spoken over you? You know, today we need to be encouraged more than any time in our lifetime, because there's been so many traumatic things that's been going on in our world over the decades. But we could all be encouraged, I believe. Paul would often talk about encouraging others in the various epistles that he wrote. He, for one, certainly knew how important it was to be encouraged as he went through his ministry. There were many who came up alongside of him and kept him going. So using our passage from Romans this morning that was read by Barbara, we know that he was not talking about the general public. He was talking about the body of Christ. He was talking about those of us here today, though we're few in number, all of you watching from home, he was talking about believers, those who are followers of Jesus Christ. And he was saying that we as the church, we're the body of Christ. And I said that earlier, even though we may not be meeting in this sanctuary, we are still the body of Christ. Wherever you are, we're connected. And he goes on to say that as the body of Christ, we're made up of many different parts. But when we're put together, we're made up of one body. And we're all different. We look different. We grew up in different environments, different parts of the country, perhaps, or even New York State. We have different customs and traditions and culture. Even between my wife and I, her coming from Korea, you know, we had to adjust over food and you know, but we're made up of one body. It doesn't matter, Paul is saying. Once we come together, the common denominator that joins us together is Jesus Christ. We become one. We become one family. I get emails from several people thanking my crew here, or our crew, that puts on this service every Sunday, and how inspiring it is, and how helpful it is to get through the week, and we're glad that we could do that for you. But Paul tells us here in Romans and in other letters that he had written that there are spiritual gifts that the Lord gives individuals. I'm not talking about the fruit of the Spirit now. There are certain gifts that some of us have that are to be utilized in building up the body of Christ. He names a few. He talks about prophecy, serving, teaching, encouraging, contributing to the needs of others, leadership, mercy. And there's a plethora of other gifts, but these are the ones that he mentioned in our text for this morning. And I believe prophecy, teaching, leadership, that may be a little bit more selective, if you will. But serving, encouraging, and contributing to the needs of others, I believe all of us should have that gift, right? And so the one I want to pay attention to this morning is the gift of encouragement, something that we could all use right about now with what's going on in our society. And I believe these gifts, when they're utilized, they band us together as a community of faith. And I believe no other gift bands us, builds us, and grows us together more than the gift of encouragement. Churches that are missing the gift of encouragement, families that are missing the gift of encouragement, workplaces that are missing the gift of encouragement, governments that are missing the gift of encouragement are dysfunctional. Just look what's going on in our own Congress. Is that, do I have sound here? Are you getting sound? Okay, because I just sound differently here. It's working? No? I hear something going on. Yeah, are we good on sound? There you go. All right. That's good. But I believe those groups, whatever group they may be, the church, the government, the family, the workplace, when we're missing encouragement in that environment, we become dysfunctional, impaired, and not fully equipped to carry out the mission, whatever that mission is. And I believe we see a lot of dysfunction in our world today because there's a lack of encouragement and cooperation within any particular body. You know, an environment of encouragement is the most fertile place for growth, spiritually, emotionally, physically. I was thinking of the Greek word here, euthymeo, that Paul uses in this text. It comes from eu, which is well, and thumos, mind. So what it means, a well mind. And that is what encouragement does for us. It gives us a peace of mind in the midst of the storm. Isn't that what we all want, a peace of mind? I've said this in sermons before. I think that's what we all crave for. I think that's what we want when we rest our heads on our pillow at night. That's what we want in the midst of the craziness that's going on around us. We just want peace of mind. So when we practice the gift of encouragement, we're helping others to put them in good spirits, making them more cheerful, and making another glad person, a person of peace. And we're all tasked to do that for others. There's going to be times when we're going to be the encourager, and then there's going to be times when we're going to need encouragement from someone else. When we're that kind of a person who encourages others, People will want to be around us. People will want to be in fellowship with us. People will be glad to see us. And I said in a message a while back, instead of running away from us, they'll run toward us. And Paul's saying that we should be that kind of person. It draws us near and closer to others in encouraging ways. It's a stretching out of our hand to someone in need. It's a touch, a gentle touch, to let somebody know that we care. It's a smile that will make somebody else smile. You know, I tested that one time. I was walking down the street and everybody I smiled at smiled back. You know, New Yorkers in general don't like to look at each other. You ever notice that? You're walking down the street and they'll do this. They don't look at each other. But when they did look at me, I smiled and they smiled back. Because a friendly approach will always, or most times, bring a reciprocal friendly approach. It's how kind things that we say to others that lifts them up. Saying just something nice, you know. Oh, I like the Pam. I like the hat you're wearing this morning. You know, I could almost hear Diana Ross singing these words: "Reach out and touch somebody's hand. Make this world a better place if you can." And isn't that what the church is all about? Us, that we need to make this the best place we can. In spite of what's going on around us, everybody wants to be touched. We as a people have been created by God to be in fellowship with others. Don't animals do that for us, right? It's unconditional. Dogs, cats, they somehow have a way of touching us because they give you that, I don't know what you could call it, an unconditional love. And it's something that lifts our spirits. And so Jesus tells his disciples in John chapter 13, listen, he says, "A new command I give to you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another." So Jesus says, I'm the example. The way I loved you, I want you to love others. And by this, all people will know that you are one of my followers, my disciples, if you love one another. You see, if we're not loving, and I'm not talking about a fake love or a contrived love or something, some act. I'm talking about genuine love. When we express that kind of love to others, even if we don't say that we're a disciple of Jesus Christ, we will project that to others. And they won't be surprised when they find out that we are a Christian and we practice our faith. And so it's a true sign of a believer, I believe, one who is an encouragement. Because encouragement, when we're an encouragement, we are telling people the truth. Have you ever told someone the truth in love and they received it? Have you ever said to somebody, maybe there's something that's a little off in their life that might be hindering or hurting them, and you say, "Listen, brother, listen, my sister, I'm not condemning you and I'm not being critical. I'm doing this because I love you. I just want to point something out to you." And when you come across that way, you're more of an encourager than being judgmental, and that person will receive the correction that you're trying to help make in their life so that they could be a better person. I think parents who could come up alongside a child in such a way could be considered disciplined. And yet it's done in a way where the child receives it instead of feeling as if they've been condemned. You know, I remember, and I've shared this in messages over the years, one of the greatest encouragers of my life was my fifth grade teacher, PS 19 in Brooklyn. And he saw I was down, and I had things going on, as young people do. I was beginning to grow into manhood. My voice started to change. It got a little lower. and maybe a little fuzz under the chin there was starting to show up. And I was conflicted during this period of my life. And he asked me to stay after class one day. And he said to me, Charles, he said, I want you to know something, son. If you put your mind to something, you could be anybody you want to be. Now, why do I remember that from the fifth grade? I've met tens of thousands of people since then. And yet those words that were instilled in me by a teacher who took the time to notice that I needed to be encouraged at that moment spoke something over my life that helped encourage me to try to succeed in life in doing many different things. And that still lives with me to this very day. And so I want to just say this to you, is that our words matter. Our words have power. The power of the tongue, the power of the tongue is enormous. The Bible talks about it. It's like a double-edged sword. It could cut as well as heal. And what do we choose to do when we use it? And I believe what Paul is saying to us this morning, amongst other things, is that use your words for encouragement. Use them to lift people up rather than bring them down. Use them to get people over the hump that they're facing in their life. I think of Mr. Brown now. He knew I was coming up against a wall. Just being a professional teacher, for somehow, he was more than a teacher. He was a real caring individual. He saw something in this kid, out of all the kids in his class, he addressed it, and he lifted me over that speed bump and got me moving again in a positive direction. What a blessing! And we could do that every day. People we meet, maybe somebody who's talking online at 7-Eleven, who's complaining, and you could speak a positive word. Bobby, you're here today. You're always talking encouragement. You drive that truck into the city, no one gets past you without hearing something about the Lord. And that's what we're called to do, okay? Is to, if you're shy and you're not really good about going up to people and being as bold, again, a smile could make a difference in another person's life. Just a friendly face in the midst of the storm can help calm that person's nerves and get them through. Folks, we're called to do what Diana Ross said. Reach out and touch somebody. Touch somebody's hand. And by doing so, we'll make this place a better world. Amen.